Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be with us, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome James Drake. He is an artist, and a show of his work called Salon of a Thousand Souls opens tonight at 5 o'clock at the New Mexico Museum of Art. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you back on the show. And Laura Addison is the curator of contemporary art at the New Mexico Museum of Art, and she put together this show. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, James, let's talk about your work. There's so much to talk about, and it's a very interesting show. It spans, I think, 25 years, although there are not all that many pieces in it. But you work with very primal colors, black, white, and red. That's a kind of limitation in which I would think there's a lot of freedom.
Well, there is freedom, and I'm not really accustomed to using a lot of color, which means I'll probably start using a lot of color tomorrow or immediately. But I like drawing, and drawing is traditionally in black and white or very subdued or muted color. So that's probably where that grew out of.
Looking at your work, it's such a there's such a love of draftsmanship in it, and that was a big part of your training.
It was. I went to art school in Los Angeles in the 60s, and I went to Art Center College of Design when it was in L.A., not in Pasadena. It was on 3rd Street then, and I took almost exclusively drawing classes and some painting classes, but I never took sculpture, never took printmaking, never took anything. But the majority of the classes I took were drawing. And I love to draw, and I love looking at drawings, and I love the charcoal, and I like the paper. I like every aspect about it, almost.
Almost?
Well, there's always something you know, that's that you dislike about something.
There's a picture, drawing, that really stands out when I walked into the gallery yesterday. We were looking at Laura and people putting up the work and putting the signs next to the work. And there's a picture of a boxcar, and that is not only a very striking drawing, but it has a lot of history behind it. Can you tell us that story?
Well, basically, in Sierra Blanca, quite a few years ago, I believe it was in the late 80s, 18 immigrants suffocated to death in a boxcar coming in from Mexico into the United States. And that was a major news event. And also, I think, for a lot of people, it was a major emotional event. And one of the first sort of awareness about border issues that the rest of the country seemed to focus in on. So I did an entire body of work based on that tragedy.
And there's a part of a number of the works, including this piece, is sculpture or what would you call it? Sculptural elements? I don't know how
exactly. That's what I call it.
On the floor below the drawing.
On the floor or next to, juxtaposed next to a drawing, something like that. Yeah, on the floor, next to it, whatever, something like that. But they're all sculptural elements like that. And I did all of those pieces. Those are the ones that were about 25 years ago.
And I wanted specifically to bring in some of those hybrid pieces that are part drawing, part sculpture, because they represented some of the earlier works from the late 1980s, and it was a way of teasing out a thread in his work that runs throughout. Which is a way of looking at current events, at personal histories, really looking at history.
Looking at history.
Including art history.
Absolutely.
And making some sort of universal statement about the human condition based on those specific moments.
Now, I'm always trying to... Obviously, if anyone goes and sees the show, I'm very influenced by history, by artist in history, by historical events. I think it's very important. And I try to connect those two and make parallels a lot of times, especially in that body of work, between historical incidents, historical facts, historical situations, and now.
There's a particular theme of Latin America and Mexico in particular in your life and in the work that's in this show.
The reason for that is my family, myself included, when I say family, grandparents, everybody, we lived in Central America in Guatemala in the 50s, and then we moved back to Texas and lived in Lubbock, Texas for a while, and then we all moved to, well, not all of us, I have to back up, a few of the family members moved to El Paso, so which is right on Nevada's El Paso border, and lived there for about 30 years and worked in Juarez. And so that entire, I like that entire culture. I respond to the culture. A lot of the work I do even is based on some of the artists like Orozco, Siqueiros, Diego Rivera, those people.
And there's some images of indigenous Mexican goddesses in the work, whose names I'm not going to try to pronounce.
I'll probably mispronounce it, but Laura can do it better, yeah.
I can only do it better than that. I don't have a Texas accent when I say it. Mali Nalshotil.
That's pretty good. Mali Nalshotil. That's pretty good.
And who is that?
Well, that was Laura. You know more about it than I do, probably.
She's the Aztec goddess of scorpions and other critters in the desert, and she's also a sorceress.
Exactamente. She was also the sister of Huitzilopochtli, so.
Who was the war god.
Who was the war god, and he killed the sister and so on and so forth. So also, when I was 14, my mother, I declared that I wanted to be an artist, and because she had lived in Mexico and we'd lived in Central America, she said, well, you need to see some art. So she took me to Mexico City, and at that time I saw all the renowned muralist and other artists, and Frida Kahlo, everybody. And also went out to where the Temple of the Sun, the Aztec Temple of the Sun, was really impressed by that whole city, Tenochtitlan, and the entire Aztec culture. And a lot of the work even revolves around that.
What a great mother. You decide you're going to be an artist,
cool.
And instead of saying, but how are you going to make a living,
she says...
She was
pretty cool. She was. She'll be there Friday night. She'll be 93, too. So,
we're talking to artist James Drake and curator Laura Addison. So there are a number of pieces in this show where you quote works from Orozco and from Goya and works that are perhaps well-known to at least some of the people who are going to see them. What is that for you and for an artist when you take imagery that is well-known and then kind of make it your own and reinterpret it? What is that process all about?
I think the first and foremost thing is that it was the love of those artists, that I was influenced by those artists. I was moved by the work they did, the way they approached the work, the concepts. They're all of them, obviously. Well, those two you mentioned especially, Goya and Orozco, did a lot of work that was very political in nature. So I was trying, again, to make a connection between those artists and now, and historical events and now. And I thought the best way to do that would be to actually draw, let's say, the paintings. They're not exactly Orozco or Goya, and I've maybe cropped or just used certain areas, and they're charcoal.
One of the paintings is a quote from Goya's painting, or one of your drawings is a quote from the Goya painting, the 3rd of May, 1808, people in front of a firing squad. What was the historical event, and what does that mean to you?
Laura.
Laura will tell us what it means to James.
Well, let me back up a little. One of the interesting things about this particular piece, which is called Cinco de Mayo, is actually there's a quotation of Goya's 3rd of May, 1808. It's a conflation of two different events, historical events. And one of them took place in Mexico, and one of them took place in Spain. Both of them happened to be against the French military. One of the things that this exhibition talks about is his use of history and conflating of moments, the comparison of the then and now. And an additional layer to this particular piece, Cinco de Mayo, is that it was influenced by the boxcar image as a way of making a parallel between two different types of executions. So boxcar was a way of looking at essentially the murder of these illegal immigrants by the coyote, by his locking them in the boxcar and throwing in there a crowbar and two railroad spikes so they could make holes to breathe. So they could make some effort to survive, but I mean, what cruelty that really was, and what an inadequate gesture to provide them with those tools.
Yeah, really perverse in there.
Yeah, very perverse. And then the execution by firing squad of the Spaniards by the French military. So there's a lot that's actually going on with that particular piece, Cinco de Mayo, as it relates to historical events and as it relates to other pieces in the show.
And then talk about the quote of the Orozco mural.
Well, I was really influenced by Orozco when I saw that particular mural. It's a fresco in the Bellas Artes.
And where you went when you were a teenager.
When I was 14, yeah. So I wanted to also put this is sort of the technical downfall of society. Orozco has the technology on the machines and on the right side, they're prostitutes, sort of the decadent society. And then on the right side of the piece, there's a welded steel replication of the Aztec Temple of the Sun.
Right.
So you've got two histories there. And then I wanted to also equate that with the boxcar, the Cinco de Mayo, and other border issues that I was working on at that time.
And there's this whole theme in the Orozco of the, what you might call, failure of revolution.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
When we were in the gallery, Laura, you were pointing out that there are a bunch of, what would you call them, deadly sins represented. Gluttony, greed,
and vanity.
Vanity.
Yeah. Vanity as an aspect of pride, because pride is actually the deadly sin.
That's the deadly sin. Is that, James, is that something that you're consciously working on, or does it kind of come out that way?
You know, I think actually it was probably a little subconscious. I didn't actually sit down and go, now I'm going to do pieces that revolve around the seven deadly sins. I think that was always in the back of my mind, and it just came forth.
There's a couple of images of mirrors, and what's interesting is that the mirrors are not reflective. One of them is a pure black matte surface that there's not even a hint of reflection. One of them in a drawing is red. What is the symbolism of a non-reflective mirror for you?
Just exactly that. That it's not, you know, that seems to be like an oxymoron. There's no reflection in the mirrors, even though I call them mirrors. So, and for me, it opens it up and expands it a little bit more so that it doesn't get specific in the sense of if you try to reflect certain images or certain aspects or certain ideas, you've locked it into a specific. I'd rather have it open.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, again, we had a nice... I wish everybody could have joined us in the gallery yesterday.
Well, they can come Friday.
Yeah, they can come Friday. We're talking about Salon of a Thousand Souls, which is a show of the work of James Drake that opens today at 5 o'clock at the New Mexico Museum of Art. But this whole question of, I mean, you've got these really clear... I mean, they're clearly symbolic, like a non-reflective mirror or a ball of twine on a vanity. And then we say, James, what do they mean? And you won't tell us.
Laura can answer that.
Well, I have my own interpretations. Whether they're quote-unquote correct or not, I don't know. But the mirror, James actually at one point had told me that he felt like it was people's inability to truly see themselves or for society to truly take an honest look at itself also.
That sounds pretty good.
You like that? You said it.
I do like it.
Well, and I think that's the interesting thing about seeing a show like this is that each viewer of the show looks at these things, which are clearly symbols of something, and they might mean something to you, James, the artist. They might mean something to you, Laura, the curator. And they might evoke a whole different conversation in the mind of the person seeing it.
Exactly, and I think that's a really important aspect. It's just not my... I hope that I open a few doors, open a few little cracks in the facade of things so that people can bring their own ideas, their own concepts, their own emotions, their own feelings, their person to the work. That would be the ideal situation. I don't want to be a hammer on people. I want them to bring just as much to it as I have.
And at the same time, knowing the story of the boxcar, I think is really important.
I think it's an interesting conversation that happens a lot in institutions. How does an institution handle that didactic material?
Like how much text do they put on the sign next
exactly.
to the picture?
And a lot of that has to do with who your audience is. But everyone's going to have a different opinion, and there's no right answer. But in the case of this exhibition, I felt like it was my responsibility to share some of that, those stories, some of those histories with people, and hopefully not make it too specific that there's no one answer.
Right. So you're not really giving them the interpretation, but you're giving them some background.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I guess it's sort of like why I like to go to museums with a friend, because then you stand there and often together you come up with something through conversation that you might not have seen
also,
or felt on your own.
Absolutely. But also it's about, for me, the interpretation is important. The way people respond to the work is important. But also the images of whatever they, whether they're sculptural images or they're drawn images or whatever, they also have to have some sort of engagement. They have to be interesting, to use a very overused word. But they do. They have to engage the viewer, or else to me you're missing an element. They have to be something, you know.
Well, and that goes back to the whole question of draftsmanship. I mean, the way you work, they're so beautifully drawn, and a lot of the pictures, a lot of the drawings are larger than life size. So you're looking at a drawing of a woman who's probably, what, two or three times the size of a real human being, and that love of drawing and love of flesh and of movement and all of the gestures in the drawing are so apparent. And symbolism aside,
exactly,
I mean, they're
yeah.
just great drawings.
So I hope, well, thank you. I hope people can respond to these on different levels. Some people just might say, well, I like the drawing, or they may not, or I like the color, or I like whatever. I think it has to work on lots of different levels, not just one. And a scale is another thing that's a very interesting. I don't know if we talked about it the other day, but I feel comfortable and I like drawing and making work in a very large scale. Does that mean it makes it more important or more profound? No, it just means I like doing it. That I feel comfortable doing it that way, because as I pointed out, the marks, if you get close to the marks, they're just marks on paper. They're literally abstract marks on paper. And then if you step back, then they start to sort of coalesce into a figure, an object or whatever. And I love that aspect of drawing.
And I have to say, to the viewer who's not a drawer, who's not an artist, it's a kind of virtuosity that's just amazing to behold.
It's real tactile, too, and I love all of that. You ask me, you know, I don't wear gloves, I don't do, because I like the feel of the charcoal, and I like the feel of the paper. So it's a real tactile, physical dialogue.
James Drake's show, Salon of a Thousand Souls, opens tonight at 5 o'clock at the New Mexico Museum of Art. Now, there's another show, which we haven't talked about, but maybe you can tell us just a little bit about it, Past, Present, Future.
That show is opening concurrent with James Drake's show.
And right next door to it in the same gallery.
In the same gallery. And it features the photography of Michael Berman, David Taylor, and Connie Samaras. And so that opens also 5 o'clock today.
Tell us a little bit about their work.
Well, the Michael Berman represents the past in that he's photographed, and they all have to do with photographing in the desert landscape, and it's all artists who are from southern New Mexico. And Michael Berman is a kind of wanderer of the desert, and he takes these very beautiful, subtle, sublime photographs of the desert. David Taylor has been photographing border monuments, and so there's a selection of those. So he's been basically walking the border and driving to the border and trying to relocate all of these border monuments to photograph, and that's what his photographs are. And he is the embodiment of present in the show. And future is represented by Connie Samaras, who is has been documenting the construction of the spaceport.
Ah, okay. Well, these two shows open tonight at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7, at the New Mexico Museum of Art. There's a reception. It's free on Friday evenings. Yeah. Laura Addison is the curator of contemporary art, and James Drake is the artist. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Thanks.
It's been a pleasure.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment with Robert Knott. Please stay tuned to KSFR.
I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is with the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's the education reporter, and he's with the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in the New Mexican. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
What are we having, another guest?
We have another guest here, the wonderful Dorothy Massey, who was honored along with
four others last
night at the Mayor's Awards for recognition of in the arts. And it was a wonderful dinner, and you were wonderful, Dorothy. Congratulations to you and Collected Works Bookstore. And
good morning, Mary Charlotte. It's an honor to be here, and I am humbled by last night. It was a great evening, and it was a great evening to celebrate the arts in Santa Fe.
And not only Dorothy Massey, but also artist Carol Anthony and dancer, flamenco dancer Juan City, and the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Team and the Witter Binner Poetry Foundation all were recognized at this event, and all wonderful people and organizations. And so we just wanted to honor you and say thank you for all you do for this community through your bookstore and through your friendship to so many.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
Do you have anything happening at the store this weekend?
Well, we've got a full agenda up for this weekend. Robert, good morning to you.
Well, hello.
Starting tonight, Stephen Fried is bringing his Appetite for America out in paperback. This is the story of the Fred Harvey Company.
And that's a great book.
Opening of the, yeah, it is. And Stephen is a wonderful speaker. So that's tonight at Collected Works at 6 o'clock.
Now, that definitely, that's one of those must-sees. And if you haven't, what's great about that book is it's a history of the Fred Harvey Company, but it's also a history of America and of the West.
The opening of the West, exactly.
Yeah.
And a great deal of it, of course, in the Southwest. So we're excited about that one. Tomorrow we have a special children's Halloween event. Lisa Stewart, who is a wonderful local musician and a teacher and a writer, has written The Little Cat, The Wonderful Witch, and The Clever Mouse. And we're going to have music.
And Robert Knott will be there purring.
For the little cat, of course.
Stroke him. children encouraged to come and show off their Halloween costumes. This is 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Saturday. So it's a nice, safe, well-lit environment to take really little ones out. And we welcome everybody from newbies right up to 10s, 12s. Whoever shows up. 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Very nice.
We have enlarged our children's section, and we do a story hour every Wednesday and Thursday now from 10:30 to 11:45 for mixed ages. And people can call the store and find out exactly when. And then finally on Sunday, Bill DeBuise, our own wonderful conservationist and author, is going to be in conversation with another wonderful Santa Fe author, Frederick Turner. Bill's new book is A Great Aridness, and I am happy to say that this was drop-shipped from the publisher, and I actually saw the boxes come in yesterday afternoon, so I started to breathe again. So this is a
breathing is good.
Never before seen by the public, and we're doing the launch for Bill on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Collected Works.
And so I'm going to help plug that event and plug Pasatiempo and say that we have a really nice piece in Pasa today, interview with him, so by Frank Clifford. It's on page 18 of Pasatiempo, so it's really nice Q&A about climate change, etc. It ties right in with your book deal.
And the book is very, very good, and it's also so beautifully written. His literary gifts and his research gifts are equally strong.
Well, Bill is knowledgeable, he's a tremendous researcher, and he has the ability of putting things in a way that it is accessible to everybody. You do not have to be a geologist or a scientist or something to understand what Bill writes.
Exactly.
It's a great book, and that is a beautiful article in PASA. I look forward to reading it.
Thanks. He does talk a lot about climate change and even predicting the weather for Santa Fe, so it's a great piece even for those that don't normally pick up PASA.
And by the way, next week we're going to be on Wednesday interviewing Bill McKibben on his latest book about climate change. And so it has become for me very clear that that is the most important issue of every issue in the whole world.
Agreed.
And if people don't get on it and understand it and take part, then we are scrawed.
In very, very deep trouble.
Right. In very deep trouble.
And that Bill McKibben is a Santa Fe Art Institute presentation, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's gonna
they do great work. Diane
Carpen said, yeah. They do indeed. And Bill McKibben is going to be coming to Santa Fe Wednesday, the, I think, 9th of November. And Thursday, the previous Thursday, I'll be airing an interview with Bill McKibben.
We'll look forward to that, Mary Sherlock.
Dorothy Massey, anything else this weekend?
My thanks to you for the program, and great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Dorothy Massey from Collected Works Bookstore. Robert Knott, what else is going on?
Well, it's the Halloween weekend, the Dia de los Muertos weekend. It's got a lot of Halloween-related things. And I'll start by mentioning that the ghosts of Carlos Gilbert Elementary School seem to have made sure that all of our announcements in the newspaper regarding that school's Halloween carnival tomorrow were inadvertently mistaken. So my understanding is that it's tomorrow, Carlos Gilbert, noon to 5. They have a haunted house. They have things for the public. They want the community to come see their school, which has been renovated. And I'm actually the Saturday reporter tomorrow, and who knows, they might put me on that story. But just want to plug that for Carlos Gilbert Elementary School, that it is tomorrow, noon to 5, at the school.
What was your favorite Halloween costume when you were a little kid?
When I was a little kid, my favorite Halloween costume? That's a really good question. I mean, you know, I was born in the Eisenhower time, so like 1965, I was wearing like Frankenstein outfits. Then I did a Wolfman. Then I sometimes made things up, and I was a ghoul and a zombie, and I dressed up as a woman once, which was good until I got to the locker room with the girls. They wouldn't let me in. And then, Groucho Marx now as an adult I do pretty regularly, and I have all the stuff. So I think it's great to dress up, and I love to dress up, and you should dress up. It's Halloween weekend. The Pasatiempo cover features Vincent Price. The late film actor known for his horror roles. His daughter Victoria lives here. She wrote a biography of her father that came out about 12 years ago. You can still get it. It's still out there in paperback. And she's going to be hosting a screening of a terrific movie from 1964 called The Mask of the Red Death, based on the Poe story. And she'll be doing this at the CCA, Cinematheque, on 1050 Old Pecos Trail at 6 o'clock Monday, which is Halloween.
Yay.
Ooh, scary. You got to pay to get in. There's prizes for best costume, and you get a cheaper price if you show up in costume.
Uh-huh.
Look at the details in my story in today's Pasatiempo, page 44.
Yes, do.
Mask of the Red Death, appearance by Victoria Price, 6 o'clock Halloween, CCA. Call 982-1338. And we know Dorothy mentioned some safe trick-or-treating options for kids. I want to mention that Monday 3 to 6, you can go over to SFCC, Santa Fe Community College, on the south side of town. And it's free, games and prizes, face painting, popcorn, candy, snacks, trick-or-treating for the kids. That's a wonderful thing that they do. It's in the main entrance of Santa Fe Community College on Richards Avenue. Call 428-1000. Again, Halloween 3 to 6, free trick-or-treating. I'm pretty sure both malls, I should be very cautious about speaking about this, I think both Santa Fe Place and DeVargas Mall are having Halloween trick-or-treating safe and free for the kids. So I could be wrong. Call those malls and say, I heard this on the radio, and they'll tell you. But I'm pretty sure they both are. Where are you going trick-or-treating?
What am I doing? I'm doing something. I think I'm going to a play rehearsal.
Oh, on Halloween?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein.
You're going to what?
Watch Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein. They go
to
this castle
are.
That Dracula has, and Frankenstein, they want to put the brain of Lou Costello in the Frankenstein monster, and then they chase him around the castle. It's really good. The Wolfman's in it, too.
Well, that is just such good news. Stop the presses. And then it's a week later that we're going to get off of daylight savings time.
We are?
Yeah, because you asked me that a month ago, and I was a month off. Because I was thinking, I sort of forgot
oh,
what
wait
it was.
A minute. That means we got to do the clocks?
Yeah, we got to set the clocks back, but it's not this Saturday. It's the next Saturday because apparently the candy lobby wanted to keep daylight savings for another week so that more people would go out trick-or-treating, which is hard for me to understand because when I was little, we went out trick-or-treating only when it got dark.
That's how I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're telling me a week from Saturday, we move the clocks back so we go to bed an hour later.
We can go to bed an hour later, or we can just get more sleep, or we can have a party that lasts an extra hour.
Oh, boy.
The options are endless.
Wait, real briefly, what does that mean for the next morning? Do we wake up in sunlight, or do we wake up in dark?
You wake up in, well, depending on what time you wake up in sunlight or dark. But there will be more sunlight in the morning and less sunlight in the evening.
Always with the Weisenheimer cracks. Actually, next weekend, thinking, jumping ahead, is... Stars Never Fade is going to do the Carpenters Yesterday Once More. That's going to be good. Next 5:30, it's next Sunday. We've only just begun. I love them when I was growing
up. Hey, how about the Janis Joplin tribute? Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, I'll get that out in a minute, but my computer is frozen.
All right, Halloween on Ice. Come in skate-friendly costumes from 5 to 9 tonight at the Chavez Community Center down on Rodeo Road. Got to pay to get in, 955-4033. I guess if you want to see zombies and stuff skating around. Wouldn't it be like if you were in a horror movie and you were on skates, would you have a better chance of getting away from the monsters or less if you were on ice?
If you were in a movie?
No, if you were on ice and, like, zombies were chasing you but you had skates on, you'd have a better chance or worse?
It depends whether you had anti-zombie weapons in your hand.
See, no help at all. Let me see. There's a Halloween happy hour and a past life party. I wanted to speak to you about this. 6:30 p.m. on Saturday night at the Pink Church. There's going to be readings and a video by media artist Agramzu, A-G-R-A-M-Z-U. Refreshments, psychic readings, music, silent auction. Again, 6:30 Saturday, the Halloween happy hour and past life. Suggest a donation to get in. I'm going to give you a phone number, and then I want to ask you a question about this past life stuff. 927-5407.
Yeah, because I'm the expert.
Well, like, whenever you meet somebody that was in a past life, aren't they always somebody famous?
No.
That's what I always meet. They never say, oh, I was Giacomo and I cleaned out the Roman toilets. Or I was, you know, Ziggy, a janitor at the Austrian Conservatory where Bach was studying.
I know people who've said, I was a humble shepherd. I was a kid who died at the age of 7.
So you've met people that were normal people.
I was a monk. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, say they were.
Uh-huh. Did you ever feel you were in a past life?
I have had stirrings of those feelings at times.
Oh, I love stirring up certain feelings among myself. I'm living my past life now.
You're obviously Groucho Marx and Dean Martin.
Well, but they were
combined.
Alive when I was alive, so I can't be them. But you're right, I have that sort of past life regression always coursing through my veins, titillating my gastric juices, you could say.
All right, so let me see. I'm having computer problems, but let me see if I can. Oh, here we go. The Janis Joplin tribute. Stars Never Fade. Stars Never Fade. Tribute to the legendary Janis Joplin featuring Kim Borchert Taylor and the Andy Prim Quartet. That's Saturday and Sunday of this week at La Casa Cena. And for reservations, you can call 988-9232. And apparently, Kim Borchert Taylor is dazzling with her gritty and heartfelt performance of Janis Joplin. Haven't seen it yet, but it sounds potentially fabulous.
Great. The Santa Fe Reporters 2011 Halloween Party is Saturday night. Costume contest, raffle, dance away, 7 to 11 at the Lodge at Santa Fe at 750 North St. Francis Drive. Very inexpensive to get in. That includes your raffle ticket, and all proceeds benefit Esperanza Shelter for Battered Families.
Wonderful.
And once again, a phone number. 988-5541. So in other words, it's 988-5541. I thought I could turn it into a song, but I didn't do the zip code in the beginning.
Yeah, you didn't, did you?
No, the three-digit zip code is important. All right, we talked about past lives. Oh, what about the retro tea dance?
What about it?
If you want to dance to like 30s and 40s music at 3 o'clock on Sunday, the Santa Fe Public Schools Music Fest continues with a high school prom-themed dance with Santa Fe Public School Music faculty, artists, and the band Swing Shift. So it's at Acequia Madre Elementary School, 700 Acequia Madre. You got to pay to get in, and the tickets benefit music programs in the schools, 474-0240. Again, 3 o'clock, you'll be in an old-style gym in an old-style school, a Sacred Madre school. You can dance for a few hours. It'd be good exercise. And then it's 5 o'clock, it'd be almost dark time, and you can go get a beer.
Did someone say beer?
I did.
The cause of and solution to all of life's problems?
Beer, or is that a lecture coming
beer.
Up? Oh. It certainly helps me with a lot
of
my problems.
That's Homer Simpson.
Oh, I see. You're always quoting those Greek guys and you expect me to know what's going on. Listen to this. You're going to love this. The Art of Being Human. Student and alumni celebrate the Institute of American Indian Arts with an anthology of performances and media with a special guest, Rose B. Simpson. You can get in at 6 o'clock.
She's fabulous.
Yep. 6:30 is when the show takes place at the Lensic. It's free. 424-2300. I like that. I like the whole idea of the art of being human. I think it is an art form to be human and to be alive and do all that other stuff that's fun that I can't talk about on the radio. I got to mention the Complete History of America Abridged opens Wednesday. New Mexico School for the Arts program opens at Warehouse 21. They do they go from 1492 to today in like 90 minutes.
Oh, that's great. That's like Shakespeare Abridged,
right,
which is fabulous.
Right, but this is America, and Shakespeare was not that guy. He was an English guy. He was over in Britain.
Yeah, that's so very true. Or maybe he was a woman. Or maybe he didn't exist at all, and somebody else wrote it. But Shakespeare Abridged is really good. Did you see that College of Santa Fe production a couple of years ago?
I did, and I also saw the Lensic brought in the Royal Shakespeare Company doing it, so... Now it's these kids doing it over at the School for the Arts, except it's at Warehouse 21, so Wednesday night.
And it's not Shakespeare. Book signing.
Yeah.
True Brit, Beatrice, 1940, by author Rosemary Zebart and illustrator George Lawrence, about a 12-year-old English girl who comes to Santa Fe in 1940 to escape war in England. That's Sunday, the 30th of October, from 2 to 4 at the Santa Fe Children's Museum, and it's part of their Día de los Cuentos, Day of the Stories, celebration.
Nice.
And for more information, you can call 989-8359. And there's another book signing. Oh, that's not for a while.
If you've ever wanted to get a handle on understanding the nonprofit board and board governance, since this is such a nonprofit town, the New Mexico Lawyers for the Arts are going to be talking about this at 6 o'clock Wednesday at the George O'Keefe Museum Education Annex, which is on Grant Avenue downtown. It's free. 6 o'clock Wednesday, understanding the nonprofit board and board governance.
Excellent.
And Santa Fe Rep is going to open Pippin Thursday night, the Stephen Schwartz musical, 7:30, at the Moving People Dance Space, which is a really good, neat space over on Pacheco Street. You got to pay to get in. Call 629-6517, and the show runs through mid-November.
And I think I'm going to try to get them on the air next week, too.
Excellent. You try to get a lot of people on the air, don't you?
I know. We get a lot of people on the air.
You certainly give them the air.
How about the... whatever you just said. How about the 10th annual El Dorado Arts and Crafts Fall Show? That's at St. John's United Methodist Church at 1200 Old Pecos Trail. And that's today, a reception from 5 to 8, and tomorrow from 10 to 5.
El Dorado?
No, it's in Santa Fe. Okay. Old Pecos Trail at Cordova. Isn't that the pumpkin church?
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
Tonight there's a lot of art openings. You can go to Alexandra Stevens Fine Art up on Canyon Road to see sculpture by Steve Eben, reception 5 o'clock. The Delgado Street 4th Friday Gallery Walk is around Canyon Road and Delgado Street from 5 to 7. Check out discoverdelgado.com. Marigold Arts up on 424 Canyon Road has the International Estate Collection of Folk Art. And the New Mexico Museum of Art is doing an exhibition of James Drake, Salon of a Thousand Souls.
Yeah, that's what we just had on this morning,
that's
earlier,
right.
Before
and
you came.
The Stories in Pasta Tempo on page 28. Take a look, see. There's also a photo show there, past, present, and future, and we covered that in Pasta Tempo as well.
Yep.
And Ventana Fine Art, The Quiet Master, Oils and Pastels by Albert Handel, 5 o'clock. And finally, Zane Bennett Contemporary Art, which is actually on Guadalupe Street, 435 South, is doing weather, not weather like, is it going to rain, but whether or not is it going to rain. W-H-E-T-H-E-R. It's sculpture by Rachel Stevens, Story and Pasta, page 42. They're also doing some work by Bruce Dorfman the same night. 5 o'clock. Most of these receptions are 5 o'clock at these galleries, but you can check the Pasta Tempo calendars and find out everything.
Everything.
Well, almost everything.
The operative word being everything. And the Amy Beale Elementary School Harvest Festival is...
tonight?
Oh, no, that was yesterday.
Tomorrow night, yesterday night. Yeah, you're right.
They sent it to me. I thought they sent it to me yesterday, so I thought it was today. Anyway, I hope it was fun.
Me too. Let's say you want to go out tonight. You're saying, who's playing where? I'll tell you real fast. The R&B band Gimme Some is at the Blue Tower Lounge at 9 o'clock. Over at the Bull Ring, you got Sandy Hoffman on guitar, 6 o'clock. There's no cover there. The Cowgirl has Honky Tonk and Juke Joint Rock Band Broom Dust Caravan. That's going to be at 8 o'clock, and that features Zoe Fitzgerald, the Time Traveling Transvestite. Talking about past lives, huh? You got to pay to get in. Savor Cuban Rhythms at El Dorado, 7 o'clock. Do they still have the dance floor in El Dorado Hotel?
That's a good question. The last time I went, there were people dancing, but that wasn't for a while, and they were talking about getting rid of it, which is just silly because it brings so many people in, and there aren't enough places to dance, and supporting live music is a really good thing to do.
El Farol has the Rattlers doing rockabilly, doon 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 doon, 9 o'clock, got to pay to get in. La Fiesta Lounge has Bill Hearn, Country Trio, 8 o'clock. No cover. That's a good place to dance. A little small, but it's a good place to dance. And pianist Charles Tishner's at the Silver Starlight Lounge, 6:30 tonight. And Gordon Free Band's doing alternative rock at the Tin Star tonight at 9, cover charge. There's a lot of other options. You can go to Tiny's, Vanessi's, Santa Fe Soul, Pronzo. Take a look at the Posse Tempo. Hey, what time is it?
8:51.
That's good. I was in the car with a photographer the other day going to Los Alamos on a story that we were assigned, and neither one of us had our cell phones, and we realized his car didn't have a clock, which is why I still think radio announcers should say things like, it's 9:05, and remind people. Because you could be running late for work, and you want to know what time it is.
It's 8:51, 46, 47, 48, 49.
Wait a second.
Hey, how about...
Yeah.
Did you already talk about the past life party?
Yes, I did. I asked you specifically whether you lived a past life, and you refused to say.
What did I refuse to say?
You declined to answer the question. Have you yourself, to the best of your knowledge, been in a past life?
Well, those are... There's no way to... There's no way to verify whether one's intuitions or subjective experiences about that point to specific actual past lives or imaginings about them or connections to places for mysterious reasons. It's hard to understand that stuff. But I have been I have been to places and felt a deep sense that I'd been there before and had magical, weird, mystical things happen in those places.
But that happens to me all the time when I go back to my apartment. I feel like I've been there before.
But you actually had been there before. I'm talking about places that I've never actually been in this lifetime, as they say.
So you wonder if you've been there in a different lifetime.
Yeah, or wonder why it is that one place feels so familiar and another place is just neutral and alien and, gee, I've never been here before, new place.
Huh. Sort of like me and women. Hey, the Museum of International Folk Art is going to have the Dia de los Muertos celebration on Saturday. Art projects for everybody. You can make memory boxes and decorate sugar skulls. And enjoy dances by Los Niños de Santa Fe Compañía, 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. When? Saturday. Where? Museum of International Folk Art. By museum admission. You want a phone number? Here it comes. 476-1200, Saturday afternoon again. Pardon me, Sunday afternoon. My mistake, Sunday afternoon. Dia de los Muertos celebration Sunday afternoon at the Museum of International Folk Art. And I think on Sundays, museums still free for New Mexico residents. Forgive me if I'm mistaken. I'm thinking that is the case, however. New Mexico residents, no charge on Sundays. That's correct. Okay, I found out. Good.
Yep, thank you.
So in the autumn and the winter, it's like a good time to go support your museums on a Sunday. And if you have a couple dollars in your pocket, you put it in the donation box because you should support them. So there you go, because it is Dia de los Muertos weekend. Get it while you can.
And also, Dia de Amigos.
There is an
altar for pets at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Is that where it is? Or is it at the...
You're asking me?
I got to figure that out. We talked about it with Ben Swan yesterday, but anyway.
Oh, that's right. Something about Ben Swan had a nice hat on yesterday.
He had a very nice hat on.
And I was supposed to wear a hat today to try to top him. Well, I guess it was a top hat, but I didn't bring it.
So at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, there is an altar. It'll remain in the lobby until the 1st of November, and you can bring pictures of your departed animals or stories about them or whatever and look at all the other people's pictures and stories of their beloved and departed animals. And you can also adopt an animal. And there is this really, really cute dog named Ladybug. I'm looking at their site right
Ladybug.
Now. And she had a rough life, but now she's all tame and sweet, and she's white, and she's so cute.
Next Friday night, I don't have it in front of me, but that boudoir place on St. Francis, what's it called? You probably go there to buy lingerie and stuff. Au boudoir.
Oh, yeah. No, I've never been there.
They're going to have the, I saw you there once. They're going to have the camera club.
No, that
show.
Was that other girl.
They're going to have the camera. They're going to have the camera club girls. They're going to have photos that these guys took of nudes in the 50s, like with Betty Page and those other women when they had to be discreet. But, man, I'm going to that. So if you want to see me, I'll be there next Friday night. That's on the 4th. I don't have the information because it's out of this week's thing. I'm going to run by some haunting stuff. You can run up to Los Alamos today and go to the Bradbury Museum. They're having a high-tech Halloween. I went there yesterday and wrote a story. It's in the, yesterday's paper. Fright Fest, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. That's out at Santa Fe Place, Haunted House. It's Friday through Monday. They got the adult teen haunted house, kitty haunted house. Call 983-8360. Portal of Fear is right here in the Coronado Shopping Center next to Party City. It's proceeds benefit Kids Sake and Positive Life Choice Center of America. And I think there's also the, I know there's another haunted house, the Hive. It's out there on the jiu-jitsu place, which is good. You should learn jiu-jitsu if, like, monsters are coming at you from the Hive. Then you can, like, remember Jiu-Jitsu Joe from Dick Tracy cartoons? I just thought of him. What was his name? Jiu-Jitsu? Yeah, he used to beat people up.
Colleen Plum is a photographer whom we talked to along with Ben Swan the other day, and her book is called Animals Are Outside Today, and it's a book about animals, but it's not just cute fuzzy bunnies at all. It's kind of edgy and very interesting, and she will be at Radius Books on, let's see, Saturday. I think it's 4 to 6 in the afternoon. It doesn't say what time on their site, but that's my memory of when it is. And Radius Books is right downtown. It's at 4 o'clock, 227 East Palace Avenue, Suite W. And if you've never been up there, I'd never been up there until the other day when I went to pick up the book, and it's a beautiful space. They share it with an architect. So Radius Books and an architecture firm are in the same space, and it is gorgeous. So yet another reason to head on over there on Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Excellent. I think one of the libraries, the Southside Library, is having a book sale this weekend. I know people like those sort of things, so I would urge you to consider heading out there. It's the Santa Fe Public Library book sale Saturday, 10 to 4, and you can get hardbound books for $1 and paperbacks for 50 cents. Children books are $0.25, videos and DVDs are cheap. Southside Branch, Jaguar Drive, 10 to 4, Saturday. So there's a book sale, and you love books, 955-2820. So there's a book sale, there's hauntings, there's ghosts, there's movies. I like the movie The Way, Emilio Estevez.
Oh, has
Martin
that come
Sheen.
Out?
It's at DeVargas. Go see it.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great
Smart,
movie.
Good movie.
I wanted to get those people on the air, but they didn't call me back.
No, they were in and out of town fast.
I know.
I had to go out and meet them at a rival radio station. The Thing is a pretty good horror movie. I saw it, gave it a little chilly blurb. It'll keep you on the edge of your seat most of the way. Puss in Boots opens this weekend if you want to take your kids to a movie with 3D and Puss in Boots. And don't forget, Vincent Price Night at CCA, Halloween, 6 o'clock. See my cover story in Posse Tampa. Good seeing you, baby.
Oh, it is time to go. Listen, it's the music. Robert Knott is
me.
With the Posse Tempo, Friday Still. Arts Magazine, the Santa Fe New Mexican. He writes the education columns for the New Mexican. He's with us every once in a while. Speaking of the arts, Rob DeWalt will be back next week. Happy birthday, Rob DeWalt.
Happy birthday to you.
And it's great to have you back.
Thanks. I'll see you around
I
Christmas.
Noticed you didn't sing a song.
I did a little background stuff, but I'll sing to you as you say goodbye.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Barry Charlotte.
After the radio show.
We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org.
Loosen up and have some fun.
We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Top Foil Computer Services.
Today.
Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today.
For Santa Fe. Where we can play.
Stay tuned.
Kiss your sweet neck.
Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, the memory of Robert Knott will linger.
I'll see you around Christmas. I'll come out for a Christmas show.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Thanks for sitting in today, and everybody have a great weekend. Happy Halloween. And we'll look for everybody's costumes out on the street. And have a good one, and Monday, we will be back at 8 in the morning. Ciao.